Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Kraut with Idea Dudes, and in this show, we're going to discuss configuring IPsec. I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I've done consulting and teaching for the government, United States Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, and companies around the world. If you want more information about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions, please use the question comment box below. Let's get started. So, first thing we need to talk about is what is IPsec? Well, it's a way to provide security for data sent between two computers on an IP network. And that's what we call as a virtual private network. Based on the standards developed by the Internet Engineering Task Force, which is the IETF, and protects data between two IP addresses. So the way that we did it in 2003 is we would have to implement a group policy. And the group policy would be assigned based on our OU. Now what we can do is we can actually go through and use the connection security rules and do it that way. And there's also other ways that we can implement IPsec. Enforced by the IPsec policies or the connection security rules. So those are the actual two. And this is done on a group policy level. So when we look at IPsec policies, there's actually the default an attempt to negotiate both the authentication and encryption. So what it does protects the actual authentication, identifying who we are, and that's going to be based on our certificate. And then the encryption, where we can protect the information so that if it's intercepted, it won't be able to be recognized. And this is implemented through group policy. So when we look at the different ones that we have for group policy, the ones that we're going to be looking at is client respond only. We have secure server and server request security. Secure server is going to be your most stringent of the IPsec policies, and it requires that the other server have the same access credentials that identifies itself and so forth. So when we look at predefined IPsec policy, respond only, the client, server request, and the server require security. So the client respond only, the computer will never initiate a connection. That's why it's respond only. So that computer is going to be out there and waiting for a connection to be made to like a server. We'll negotiate the connection using IPsec if requested by a connecting partner. So client respond only, this is going to be your least secure of all of your different ones. You have server request security. Encryption is preferred but not mandatory. So what we're doing is we're saying, okay, we want encryption, but if you can't support encryption, that's okay. Accepts traffic that is not encrypted, but will try to secure the traffic with encryption. And allows the entire communications to be unsecure if other computer is not IPsec enabled. Then we have the most stringent of them all, which is secure server. And this is used for like intranet servers, like web servers, email servers, database servers, highly sensitive data. This is data that we don't want to get out to anybody else. So what we're doing is we're making sure that we have the security stronghold in place. All traffic will be encrypted. Now, if you have this, this one is only supported like 2003 and 2008 machines. So if you're implementing this, you have to keep that in mind. That we will only be able to support those. Also, Windows 7 and Vista can also be encrypted using secure server. For the server traffic or for the information. Now, the thing is it is very, very protected. So if for some reason you implement this and then your servers quit responding, then you know that it's because you have a secure server and you may have to laxen up on your security. Now, the connection security rules is the other way that we can implement IPsec. And this is underneath the Windows Advanced Firewall settings. And this is new to Windows Server 2008. Before, the only way that we can do IPsec was through group policies. Now we have the ability of doing a connection security rule. This is a default attempt to negotiate only authentication. Configure it through the Windows firewall with advanced security. So connection security rules. And so what we do is we just do a right click and new security rule. When we go in, we have the different types of rule types. We have isolation, which directs connections based on authentication criteria such as a domain membership or health status for NAP, for example, network access protection. Authentication exemption. Do not authenticate connections through to specified computers. Server to server. This is going to do an IPsec right here. So connections between the specified computers. Tunneling is IPsec. Authenticates connections between the gateway computers. And then we can also do a custom rule, which we can go in and make a a la carte type decision on what things that we want to protect and so forth. So IPsec data protection services, what does it provide? Well, one of the things is data authentication, and the other is data encryption. So we're going to look at both of these. So the first is looking at data authentication. The data origin authentication, what it does is it ensures that each packet you receive from a trusted party, in fact, originates from that party. So that way we can't have repudiation, which what that does is that means that it's trying to disown the actual sending of the packet. Data integrity, ensuring data is not altered in transit, making sure that somebody doesn't intercept that packet and then make changes to it. Anti-replay protection verifies that each packet received is unique and not duplicated. That way, somebody hasn't intercepted the information and then tried to use the same information like authentication, user security information, and trying to use it to log back into our servers or back into our environment. Encryption, this can use IPsec to encrypt networks that data so that the data is unreadable if captured in transit. And so when you think of encryption, encryption dates back a long time ago. During World War II, there was a device that was intercepted by the English, was actually used by the Germans that were trying to send information encrypted. And what it does is it makes it so that certain letters mean certain things, numbers or whatever, symbols. And it makes it so it's unreadable unless you have a private key. The private key is used to decrypt the information. You have a public key, which the public key is used to encrypt it. The private key is used to unencrypt it. So when we look at an IPsec policy example, we have a policy rule. Say we're trying to filter out telnet traffic. So we look at we have a server. It's 192.168.3.32. So we have some telnet traffic that we want just going to that server. So when we're looking at port 23 is for telnet traffic. The only telnet traffic we want is to go over to 192.168.3.32. Then we look at POP3 traffic. Now, POP3 is your email traffic. And say we have an email server that is out there, it's accepting POP3. We want to make sure only POP3 email information is going over to 192.168.3.200. So the filter that we're going to do is we're going to negotiate security but require encryption. Now we have another policy that we're going to set in place that we're going to block all telnet traffic and all POP3. So what happens is we have another rule that filters all traffic. And that's going to negotiate the security and request authentication. So in this instance, based on the rules that we talked about, when attached to an OU, the computer within the OU will attempt to authenticate but will not encrypt the traffic unless it is destined to the computer. 192.168.3.32 for Telnet or 192.168.3.200 for POP3. All Telnet and POP3 are blocked unless these computers are the targets. And the traffic on these computers will succeed if the traffic can be negotiated with encryption. So what we're doing is we're saying, hey, this is what we're trying to stop. Telnet traffic and POP3 from anybody else. If it's destined for those computers, then we want to give it to them. And also only if we can negotiate the security and require the encryption. So looking at connection security rules, what are they? Well, they're similar to IPsec. They evaluate traffic between the computer communicating computers, allow or block it based on the conditions that we set in play, based on filters that are created. The limitations of connection security rules, though, is that they're not as powerful as IPsec, and you cannot apply to types of traffic. Applies to all traffic from the source or the destination, and applies only data authentication security. So it doesn't provide encryption like IPsec. So looking at connection security rules, we have isolation, authentication exemption, server to server, rule tunneling, and custom. So what we do is we decide on what type of requirements. So when do you want authentication to occur? Well, you want to request authentication for the inbound or outbound connections. You can also select require authentication for inbound connections, request authentication for outbound, and require authentication for inbound and outbound connections. Then what we decide is what type of authentication method do we want to use. So you got the default, which is authentication specified in the profile properties. You can also support Kerberos version 5 for both the computer and users, and also the computer itself, and we can also do a computer certificate. And then we can also go into the advanced section. Now, then when is this connection rule going to take place? Is it going to take place on a domain, which applies to when a computer is connected to a corporate domain, a private, which applies when a computer is connected to a private network location, or public, which applies when a computer is connected to a public network location. So it's based on different locations that we're in, and we can select when this connection security rule is going to take place. And then what we're going to do is we'll just give some type of name for it, and this is for us to identify which connection security rules that we do have out there. Now, one of the things that we do have is something called security associations. And so what happens is two computers negotiate an IPsec connection. Then we have the IPsec policies, the connection security rules. Data sent between those computers is secured. The SAA defined there's two IPsec policies, the authentication header, and we also have the encapsulating security payload, which is the ESP. You can use each alone or combined together. Now, the authentication header, when we look at that, that is the data originates authentication. It looks at data integrity, anti-replay protection for the entire IP packet. So this is authenticating. It's saying, hey, this is who I am. And then the encapsulating security payload, that's the data encryption. So you have the data origination authentication, data integrity, anti-replay for the ESP payload. Provides data and identity protection. So how are IPsec connections established? Well, you have the IKE, which is the Internet Key Exchange, establishes a mutual agreeable policy. These are the things that we want to use: secure server, client respond only, and so forth. Defines this SA, which is the security authentication, includes the security services, what services are we going to protect, protection mechanisms, the cryptographic keys, which are going to be used for authentication, and provides the keying and negotiation. So what are the phases of negotiation? Well, we have two phases: main mode negotiation and quick mode negotiation, where the SAs are used to protect the traffic. So how are IPsec connections established? Well, you set up a main mode SA, agree upon the terms of communications and encryption algorithm, so SHA-1 or whatever we're going to be using. Create a quick mode SA, you send the data, and in IPsec and tunnel mode, this is what happens. IPsec by default works in tunnel mode, L2TP, layer tunneling protocol, layer 2 tunneling protocol, tunnel mode, and the entire packet is protected. So here's an example. We're going through the internet. We have one computer on one side here in America, another one in Russia. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to send secrets from America over to Russia. Well, what we can do is we can protect that packets by additional unprotected IP header is encapsulated within the traffic. So the entire packet is protected, so the information can't be intercepted and so forth. I know that's a bad example of sending secrets over to Russia. IP locations, IPs on the outside are tunnel endpoints. IPs on the inner side are known as their source and their destination. So here's an example. This is a better one. We have Miami. So Miami is our site, and we have a site in London. We have a client machine, which is going through an IPsec gateway, and we're sending traffic over into London. So we create an IPsec tunnel to the Windows 2008 IPsec gateway in London to send it over to a SQL server. So this would be an example of going through and going through the web, and we have a web access or a web program application that's sending information from Miami over into London, London being our home or our hub, as we would say. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the GoGo box below. You can also find more of my broadcasts, just search for GoGo website. If you have an idea for a show, then let us know by putting the information in the GoGo box. It has been a pleasure speaking to you about technology. Thank you for letting me into your world. Have a great day, and bye-bye for now.